Hello, everyone out there. You are back with Matt and Jamie for Can You Believe That? For our December podcast. It's been a very busy month, but we wanted to make sure we squeezed in this last episode before we head off into the new year.
Yep.
So, Matt, how was your Christmas?
It was a day, you know, since me and my wife don't have any kids together and her kids are grown, you know, it's just another day for me. I mean, it's a nice day. I'm off. You know, I enjoyed it, but her mom came over and she cooked, you know, and I got out of the way and acted like a teenager and played video games all day. So I was cool.
Cool. We had, go on.
No, I was going to ask you, how was yours?
We had our, eldest come back. So that was cool. The whole family was together and, first week or Christmas in a couple of years, I didn't have to go back on the road right after. Mm-hmm. So I got a chance to sit and relax. Met the boyfriend.
So did you show him the knife and the gun collection?
Yeah, didn't have to get to that.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, interesting visit.
Well, I guess we'll save that one for, after we're done.
Yeah, you know, just, it's one of those things where, well, time to meet the family. And he met us. It was like, should we hold back? Nah. They need to see us in our full glory.
Oh no, you gotta completely cut loose.
So we were our full selves for the duration of his visit, so we'll see if he sticks around.
Well, you know, if he's actually a mature adult type person, which you want him to be,
yes.
He ain't there for y'all.
Hey, exactly, but you know.
My bad. That's my email notification.
That's cool.
Okay, I just shut that off. So I missed what you said.
No, just overall was really, really good Christmas. And, looking forward to the new year. I'm ready to be done with 2015.
Yeah, 2015 wasn't bad, but it wasn't good either.
Yeah, it was
very 2016.
Busy.
Yeah. I need 2016 to be a little more positive than 2015 was.
Well, we're looking for things that just kind of slow down and be stabilized for us. That's our big goal. Have
right.
things somewhat stable. So,
right.
We're looking forward to that, but there was a lot of good stuff to happen in, 2015 too, but it was definitely a challenging year.
Yes. Yes. I can't say 2015 was my best year. It certainly was not my worst year. So I'm like, grateful for the year it was, but I'm looking for more positive movement for 2016.
Yep.
The best thing about 2015 was the movies that came out.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And 2016 looks to be rather eventful as well, at least early.
Well, I guess we're starting on a tangent.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to say too, but you bring up the movies, which is a very good point. This was mm-hmm. an excellent year for movies, but also for video games. If you're into video
yeah.
games, no matter what system, you had tons of stuff to play on.
Yes. Yes, you did. And I still don't have Grand Theft Auto 5. It was like, ooh, it's down to 35. I'll get it. Wait a minute. What bill's still out? Crap. Can't get it.
You know what? That game is only going to get cheaper at this point.
Well, no, it's back up to $60 on the through the PlayStation Store.
Oh yeah, don't worry about it. I guarantee it'll be going back down. You know, when they get the doldrums right around April time frame or going
yeah.
into the summer, they'll try and hype up some sales and push stuff like that.
And since we're on one of our short tangents, I have to say I'm not in love with Battlefront. I am really not in love with Battlefront.
I like jumping in there for one or two matches and then I get out, but
there's not enough
no.
of what I want.
Yes.
You know, you jump into Starfight to a fighter squadron and you get two maps on a fighter squadron and then you get the 12-year-olds who do nothing but play all day, every day. And as soon as you're in, they shoot you down. It's like, this isn't even fun.
I do like the fighter squad. That's actually my favorite mode. The
yeah, that,
the
that's
shooting
my
stuff
favorite
is
mode
okay, but it's not the best. I'm going to go back to that game once they release some other content for it. And
I was actually thinking about trading it in.
Yeah.
And seeing about getting something else.
Yeah.
Before we get too far out on a tangent.
It's cool.
Yeah. Because that game. It's like I tried to play it today, and I didn't even go online to do it this time. I just went in and played the Tatooine ground mission, and I'm like, is this it? I'm going to run from place to place. Have to shoot this guy 75 times to get him to drop. and then go and pick up his coin or whatever.
Yeah, yep.
You know, and I have no control over the soldiers I'm fighting with, so everything's random unless I do it.
Yeah, we found the AI is not the best. You have to play online to really have fun in that game, and it is a little limited. I mean, I still like it for that Star Wars feel, but it's not something that's real meaty.
Yeah, I love the graphics.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's just, I'm like, now I'm to the point where I'm getting my behind kicked by Destiny. I can actually play a little bit. But it's like I'm trying to do the missions and build myself up. And I found 3 missions where no matter what I do, I die.
Dude, I bought that on Xbox One and PS4.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, since I got it on PS4, like I leveled my characters all the way up on the Xbox before you, when you get to the whole light stuff that they changed now, but I got to that point where you can go just by leveling up normally, and then I pretty much quit. So I got it on PS4 with all the DLC and stuff because it was on sale.
Right.
I just can't get into it. There's just too many other good single player games, and I'm not a real multiplayer person, but that was another game that was disappointing with not enough content.
Yeah, and
doing
I mean,
the
there's
same
a
missions over and over and over again. That's just not fun.
Yeah, and it's like I'm chasing, and then I get super boss, and because I don't have help, he focuses on me, so I can't kill him.
Yeah,
and it's just like I'm just like, okay, do I keep this or trade it in? Because I mean, I enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a point where there's going to be where you get to fight in outer space or something?
I mean, there's other stuff with the DLC, but it's like, do you want to invest in that? Because even though I got all the extra content to try and beef up the game because there wasn't enough just with the base game. I don't have the desire to go in there. My son, who plays that stuff all the time, he still is like, nah, I'm not going back into Destiny. And most of his friends have dropped it already because it's just too repetitive.
Okay, because, I mean, it's like I got everything for free.
Yeah.
I won another PS4.
Right.
At my company Christmas party. And it's like I got all of Uncharted. I got all of the Uncharted except for the newest one.
I want to pick that up.
I haven't started playing any of them because it's like I'm looking like, do I have time to get into this? And it's one of those I kind of want to jump in, play for a few hours, and jump out. I don't want something to have to, oh, this is where I am, and I have to remember it. And,
yeah, man, that's been my story this whole year between Just Cause 3, which just came out. Fallout 4, Tomb Raider, and there was earlier in the year Witcher, just massive games. Even squeezed in Mad Max in there, and all these games are 50 plus hour. You know, Metal Gear. It's just too much.
You know, I'm a Metal Gear head. I ain't even thought about the newest one.
Yeah,
to be honest with you,
it's excellent, but they're time sinks. They are definitely time sinks.
You know, and it's like my last game that I truly sunk time into was Arkham Knight.
And
that was disappointing for the reasons we talked about.
Yeah.
We talked about it. It's still fun.
Yeah.
But now that, like, they've added in all they added in some more downloadable content for Season of Infamy, where it's four more Most Wanted missions. And it's like, oh, this could be cool. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not longer. I mean, maybe if it was one of those things where they mixed it into the game, like if I start a new game and it's all mixed in there, it'll be okay. But I really don't want to have to go back to fighting those 10 million tanks for no damn reason.
Yeah. I finished that game, I put it down, and that was it. I was done with it.
Yeah,
I won't be going back to it.
Yeah, I go in for the fights. to go in and just fight to do the, what was the sad thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. To do the, let me see if I can get how many stars I can get. That's yeah. what I go back into it for. Other than, but to play the game again? Nah, because of the Batmobile content, the replayability is out the window.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Too much locked in. You know, I'm having a lot of fun with Fallout, but you could easily put hours upon hours in that game. Just Cause is my pickup game right now. So you can get in there, liberate a settlement, and turn it off.
Yeah.
You know, or I'll play it till I die, and then it's like, okay, I die. It auto saves at that point. I'll turn it off.
But, right.
Fallout, I never get to my objective because I'm always too busy finding something else. Like today, right. I was going to, on my way to an objective, came across this amphitheater, and there were some people there, like some cult, talking about stuff, and they're like, okay, now just give me everything you've got, and you'll be an initiate. I was like, yeah, forget that. I go to walk out. He's like, it's too late now. Then they just start shooting me, and it turned into a battle, and it's just like stuff like that. It's not a major part of the game. It's just a sad thing. You could play the whole game and never come across that.
Right.
But
so it's kind of like Grand Theft Auto in that way.
But like Grand Theft Auto on crack, because the world, there's so much in the world to do, just stumble upon. It's not major, even a minor quest. It's just stuff that's there to make the world feel alive.
Oh, that's cool. Then that's better. Yeah. And that makes the game more immersive. Like I said, I get out of and back into playing Madden. So it's kind of like, it's almost the end of football season. So I'll be playing Madden constantly till August, unless something comes out that I really want to play.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I'll be playing the games that I'm playing now probably well into next year. So even though, like you said, there's a lot of good games coming out, I'm probably going to just wait.
Yeah. Cause it's too much, and my money doesn't work that way, and I don't have the time.
It's time, mainly too for me.
It's more time. It's more time than it is anything else.
Yeah. Yep.
But
as you all know, when we do the podcast, each week we try to go through the news and bring out some items that are of interest to us, that we think will be of interest to you and to generate debate. So. We have a few things for you today, and we have a special after we finish. We're going to record our thoughts and impressions on, Star Wars Episode 7.
Yep.
So I know you're probably looking forward to that. I know I am.
No, I am too, because I have a lot to say. I have a lot to say about it.
Oh, me too. And it'd be like old times.
Yeah. Well, we can nerd. We can have our own little nerd out right there.
So we'll get into that. And like I said, it'll be another show immediately after this one, but we'll break it up on the website so you can download both independently. So, but without further ado, Matt, you had some articles you wanted to lead off with.
Yeah. They're not necessarily articles. They're just thoughts.
Oh yeah. Okay.
That I've had, over the past 6 to 8 months. And I may even mention some of them here and there. Since the Ferguson quote unquote uprising, as some people call it, and the Baltimore uprising, I would call Baltimore more of an uprising than I would say Ferguson was. Ferguson was actually a little bit closer to a riot where, you had some people are like, nah, you're not going to do this in our name. We're going to protect our space.
Right.
And in Baltimore, it was just more or less like, we're tearing this area up. And I've noticed that there are some folks who share my, amount of melanin who seem to think that a riot, because of the actions taken by the Department of Justice in Ferguson, and a few other areas, that a riot is now the way to go to be heard or to have something be done. In America, black people have been rioting for over a century. you know, or around a century, since 1865. Since we were freed and got out and started making gains, black people have rioted. There have been riots, there have been race riots in Chicago about black people, in New York, about black people rising up, LA multiple times, here in Pittsburgh multiple times, where black people have said, we've had enough of you treating us like this, we gonna tear it up. And usually it's the area where the black people live in where they tear it up.
Right.
Which doesn't make any sense to me as a guy who likes strategy and tactics. You're tearing up your own area.
It never makes
you may
sense.
Not, you may not own it. You may not own it, so you say, well, it ain't mine, I don't care. But you live there. That place you're burning down provides service to you.
Yeah.
Yes, I know you don't own it or the community doesn't own it. I get that. I understand that. But now you have to travel X amount further to go get the service that that provided to you within 8 blocks.
Right.
Now you have to travel 5 miles. And nobody wants to invest in your area now. So it's like, what did you gain? Did you really gain anything?
Right.
So, I mean, with Ferguson, they say, oh, well, you know, there's been higher voter turnout. We got rid of these people. These people are gone. There have been resignations. There's been this. I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's all immediate. But what about 5 years from now? What about 10 years from now? You know, what happens once the anger falls down? Because, I mean, if you think back to 1992 in L.A., when the riots jumped on after the Rodney King police decision and verdicts, I mean, L.A. lit up.
Yeah.
Those buildings, a lot of those buildings are still burned out.
Oh, yeah. There's
a lot.
My uncle took me through there like 2 years after the riots,
right.
And it was just still nothing.
Right. And here we are more than over 20 years after the riots, and there's still nothing.
Yeah.
Or very little. The police in LA still beat up black and Latino people and shoot them at odd times for no reason sometimes. So what did that, what was gained? They waited until your rage died down and you went back to the Crips and Bloods losing their troops from out there. And now it's back to normal, and it's been back to normal for a rather long time.
Right.
Not that normal is it, not that that version of normal is a good thing, but they just said, they paid you lip service until you calmed down and they went back to doing what they were doing, which was screwing you.
Right.
And I've also heard, people talk about, well, we need revolution. We need to riot. We need to do this, this, that, and the other. And, you know, I don't know if I've done this, said this on this podcast before, but Jamie, as a person who was actually in the military, I think you can back me up on some of the stuff I'm about to say.
Mm-hmm.
If you got every able-bodied black person to join your cause, which isn't going to happen, because you're going to have some who are going to fight for the other side.
Or just not participate at all.
Or not participate at all. So out of the 13, 14 million people. So you can cut out 2 to 3 million people right there that either are going to fight for the other side or don't want anything to do with this mess. Okay, so that leaves you with 10, 11 million people. Okay, so how many of those are fighting age? How many of those are willing, how many of those that are fighting age are in physical condition to fight? You need industry, logistics, weaponry. The rusted out AK-47s that your boy JoJo got in the basement ain't gonna get it done. the two or three pistols you got and your homeboy got ain't gonna get it done. The one or two people that I hear about that have illegal submachine guns, yeah, you're leaving the fight early because they're coming to get you. So now you have that even further down. So now since you started this revolution, you've included all these people, how are you going to protect the people who can't fight or you need to serve as nurses, people to grow food, people to maintain your weaponry? Where are you going to get the vehicles at? Where are you gonna do all of these things that you would need to do to quote unquote have a revolution?
Well, the fact is, unless you're leaving the country, which you can do legally and freely anyway, where are you gonna go to set up this new republic or whatever? You
know, exactly.
There's no end game that's going to there isn't, be a
there
positive
isn't one.
Outcome.
Right. I mean, all you're doing is basically setting up your people for genocide under those conditions.
Exactly.
Because America has no problem with genocide, if you not noticed. You know, there's a point where America will go, oh, wait, that's too much. But you'll kill a whole bunch. A whole bunch.
Yeah.
Ask the Native Americans.
Yeah.
You know, ask the Japanese. Because, you know, if they would have had more atomic bombs and Japan didn't go, okay, we quit, there would have been more dropped on Japan.
Well, technically,
those
they
are
said,
basically genocidal weapons.
See, technically, they quit before the second one, but
yeah, technically,
they blame communications.
So, I mean,
yeah, it's just it's ridiculous to think that is something that's feasible. And again, if you feel that strongly, then your best alternative is to just leave the country.
Right.
And you can go someplace else, you know, go to Canada, for goodness sake, or south of the border.
Yeah, Canada has its racial issues too.
Yeah.
They're not as bad as America's, it seems. But, you know, I've seen enough Canadian police shows to know that Canada has its problems with race.
Hey, you can go to Mexico if you know Spanish and get a job there for call centers for America.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Well.
If you got enough education, you can go over to one of the Nordic countries. I just read an article about Black American expats who are actually doing real well over there.
Yeah.
And they're seen as Americans first, not Black Americans. I mean,
can attest to that also from my time overseas for 11 years, 12 years.
I mean, look, this is my country. I'm not going anywhere. It's messed up. I want to see these things fixed. But the way to fix these things is to vote in numbers.
Yes.
Start businesses and support each other at the businesses, which also means the business owners can't be doing shady stuff.
Right.
Because we all know them. You know, that Black business owner, it has to be a two-way street.
Yeah.
Raise your kids into such a fashion that they want to be entrepreneurs, or they don't want to buy into the BS that's fed to them along negative aspects about our folks.
Right.
You know, like, there are ways to fight and combat this, and rioting ain't it.
No. I mean, as always, when has destruction ever built anything?
Well, some would argue that it built a country, but I don't think it did.
I wouldn't. That was extermination. I think that's different. But I'm talking about when you're destroying infrastructure and stuff like that, not the people, but people can be born and rebuilt or, you know, grown.
Right.
Infrastructure doesn't come back. We can look at our crumbling roads right now and see anything that's broken today is going to stay broken.
Right.
And if anything, it'll just be flattened and it's not going to be rebuilt. There's no, it's not in the economy.
Especially if you're in the wrong quote unquote area.
Right. Well, again, these areas where the stuff is occurring are not in those areas that are going to be quick to rebuild anyway.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So my thing has always been that these people are like, oh, well, it wasn't ours anyway. I was like, okay, so you so big and bad. Why don't you go around where the mayor lives at and start burning down his neighborhood? Oh, that's right. Because you'll get shot by the cops.
And never mind that, you know, violence just begets violence, as you said. So.
And it does.
We've proven before that in a lot of ways it's even better to take it on the cheek but have it visible and readily known to everyone that you are the wounded person than to fight back sometimes in a, you know, violent way.
Right. Because that's what got the civil rights thing going was, and if you watch Selma, and I know Selma's a dramatization, but it was based off a real event.
Yeah, and I mean, with the bridge scenes were very accurate to the newsreel footage and what's been said by people who were there. And right. he commented on the movie. So I think other aspects of the movie aside,
right.
the imagery that was there is exactly the same that was shown around the country at that time.
And around the world.
Right. And around the world, which is what galvanized other people who aren't black, which is what you need for this right. to be successful, to see. And I wouldn't say just black, but ethnic in general.
Right.
To see.
The thing that I was going to say about it was, they specifically spoke about, they went to one town and protested, and the sheriff there left them alone.
Yep.
Like, whatever. I don't care. They didn't riot. They picked up, and they found somebody with a short fuse. And when the dude with the short fuse got on it, they had it on camera. And what they had it on camera, they had them right there.
Yeah.
And it was over with. That's how you get it. You got them once they got it on film. Now it's a little bit different now. America's used to seeing things on film. Yeah, something else needs to happen. Okay, so what needs to happen is you go protest every day. You don't go protest for a week. You don't back stuff up for a week. You go day after day, week after week. And you just keep going and keep going until they get so tired of seeing you without tearing stuff up, without blowing up, burning it out or anything. You go until they get tired of seeing you and they finally give you what they want.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in what you say, because the one thing for politicians, as far as their litmus test, is they're going to be gone in a day or two. So anything yeah. short term, they don't need to devote any resources towards. It's not until something is systemic and long term that they become interested and actually think they have to do a plan. So what you're saying is pretty much true.
Right. Because, I mean, you know, everybody's talking about this great thing that happened in Ferguson with the DOJ and everything coming through. Obama's out of office in about a year and a half. This is his last full year, 2016. So early 2017, there'll be a new president. And which means it's probably going to be a new attorney general as well.
Well, and again, if they don't have any agreements by that point, they're not going to get any.
They're not going to get any. They're not going to get any. So, I mean, you're going to miss Obama when he's gone.
Yeah. And was, I think, was it Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Before the current round of troubles, they had some oversight from DOJ, and they didn't implement any of the measures
right.
then. So.
Right. Yeah, there was no force. I mean, Chicago was running a rendition site in Chicago. They were just snatching people off the street. Not terrorists.
Yeah.
Black people off the street. A lieutenant in the Chicago PD who tortured false confessions out of people got 3 years in jail after being found guilty of doing this stuff.
Yeah.
Him and his quote unquote crew were doing this stuff. He wasn't even punished. So what do you think is going to happen? The only reason you're getting even what you get now is because of who's sitting in the big chair. And he couldn't even come through and do it like he probably really wanted to.
No.
You know, because he had people he had to appease. You know, there were people he had to appease in office while he was in office. And as you notice, the closer he gets to getting out of office, the less, I don't know what word I want to use here, dams he gives.
I think that's appropriate with how his behavior has been recently.
What'd you say?
I said, I think that's been appropriate to how his behavior has been recently. Just yeah. for someone like me who is not an Obama, supporter for this last mm-hmm. half of his, presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Now I hear a lot of things make me say, this is a president I've been waiting for all this time
right.
to show up.
Right, but you gotta remember, he had to get himself reelected, and then he had to try to get something done in the first half of this, of this term, but so now it's like, hey, I'm done, I don't care.
I understand.
It's on. Now it's on, but now it's like too late, and you have a lot of people out here who don't see him for what he is. He wasn't just the president for Black America. Them version of the hoteps get on my nerves.
No, like I said, he will be probably the most popular president out of office. You know how that
mm-hmm.
goes.
Yeah, he'll be Bill Clinton on steroids.
Yeah, once he's out of office.
Once he's out of office.
But let's move on to
yep.
another topic. Did you have another?
Oh, no, that was it. That was me getting my rage out.
Okay, I guess it's my turn then.
Go for it.
A couple of weeks back, Justice Antonin Scalia was making some really disparaging comments about blacks in the case that they have at the University of Texas as far as, or on affirmative action.
Mm-hmm.
And this quote was, "There are those who contend that it does not benefit African Americans to get them into the University of Texas where they don't do well." He said, as opposed to a slower track school where they do well, basically saying blacks are stupid and they shouldn't be trying to apply. So there's a trio of articles that I saw, and they all came out around that same time in a couple days after each other. First one is on HuffPost. "Note to Justice Scalia, black students do very well at top colleges." So they looked at some data from the Brookings or the Brookings Institute looked at some data from the Department of Education, and they found that this is absolutely not the case. Blacks are more likely to graduate at more selective colleges. And what I found most interesting was that even if they scored lower on the standardized testing going into school, they were more likely, in a lot of cases, than the whites at those schools to graduate and to earn more from those schools than others who went to schools that weren't as, you know, well off or as well known. So this is data from the Texas Higher Education Board and the Department of Education that pretty much refutes everything that Justice Scalia said. So
just about anything with common sense refutes anything Justice Scalia says.
Yeah.
With his good Fox News soundbite having behind it. Continue, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. I was saying his name wrong. Sorry, thank you.
He doesn't deserve any of that kind of respect.
So, the point is that they're saying that blacks don't do well, which is, again, going off of general impressions that people have, which always colors this question of, I won't say quotas because sometimes it's quota system in schools, but the whole point of these laws,
the racial,
and
the affirmative action
put
laws
in place was to balance things out because they're so imbalanced towards minorities in America as it stands.
Right.
So it always kills me that they complain about, you know, a small 10% minority. Or, minority of a school population where the 90% of the population seem to think that's not enough. They still need more when you're just asking for 10%.
Right. Well, and then come to find out, and I didn't notice, I got this information from listening to a different to another podcast. The person that filed the suit.
Yeah.
She's a highly average student.
Yes.
So not only was she getting beat out by everybody anyway, she wouldn't have made it into the school regardless. She just happened to have one of those rich Republican benefactors who wanted to try to fight an affirmative action case.
Of course, they always do that. They search out for these people to try to make class action lawsuits or to make test cases, which is what they've done in this point, or in this case.
Yeah. With that case and quite a few others, and it's always backfired.
Yeah.
Well, almost always. I can't say always, because I'm sure, you know, the fact that the Supreme Court even took and heard the case.
Yeah.
It was a victory for them.
Well, and this Supreme Court is hearkening back to the Supreme Court we had after Reconstruction ended, where they tried to overturn everything, and that's what they've been on.
Right.
You know, trying to do on steroids for the past 3 years or so.
Right. Well, that's why everybody was amazed when the Affordable Care Act got found to be constitutional.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, wait a minute, if you find that constitutional, but it's okay for a cop to just roll into my car and walk into my house without a warrant now.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Well, so that was the first article. The next one was also on HuffPost. Black students are being shut out of top public colleges. So this, again, goes against what they are saying in the Supreme Court, because they found that in most of those big-name schools, the number of minorities who are being enrolled is actually going backwards, not going forward. It's not getting increased. So in some places where, so for example, University of Virginia, blacks make up only 8% of the student body, and only 5% of those are black Virginians, meaning they were actually from that state and then went to a school.
Right.
But they make up 22% of the public high school graduates in Virginia.
Right.
So
now, I'm sure some of that, not a lot, but some of it has to do with the thing of I'm leaving home. I'm going to school somewhere else.
Yes.
I'm sure that plays into it. But to say that there is no how can I say it? There is no discrimination or bias in these people getting into these schools in the first place is laughable, because even here in Pittsburgh, there was just a lawsuit settled. This isn't school wise. This is about the police, of people being qualified and proving themselves qualified to be hired onto the police force, and they just don't hire them.
Well, yeah. And I mean,
and that's what happens at these colleges.
Yeah. They show the University of Delaware, they have a 5% African-American student body, where blacks make up 30% of the high school graduates. And Georgia, University of Georgia, where it's 7% compared to 34%.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes on and on. But the main point here is that the numbers of minorities is being enrolled in these top schools is being rolled back, not going forward. So even if there's some affirmative action plans in place, it's just to maintain a minuscule amount of seats that they're passing out to minorities in the first place.
Right. And who actually benefits from affirmative action? Let's be real about it statistically. It's not black people.
Right.
It's white women.
Yeah. I mean, that's been the case since all these plans came into place.
Right. So this fraud was so bad, she couldn't even get on a white woman's affirmative action plan. What's that say about her pitifulness? See, then Scalia is now literally the Fox News talking point on the Supreme Court. And Roberts isn't much better.
Yeah.
I forget who they said was usually the swing. Was it Kennedy that's usually the swing vote?
Usually.
He's usually a swing vote, but he tends to lean, it seems as things have gone on, to the stuff I've paid attention to, he's seeming to lean more and more conservative. I'm sorry, but I'm going to need some more balance on the court.
Yes.
There shouldn't be a liberal or a conservative justice.
Right.
There should just be justices.
Right.
You know, but let's go away from my fantasy and hit reality right now. I'm sorry, I need to see a Democrat be president so they can appoint Supreme Court justices. And I'm almost hoping the Republicans hold on everything, so when the Democrat appoints them, that the Republicans can lose their freaking mind, and then there isn't any Supreme Court justices, and I can go, told you.
Well, our last article on this is also from HuffPost, but it's black jobless rate is much higher than whites, regardless of education. So here we go again, where we see that even if a minority person can make it into one of those top schools, and we're not talking about just, you know, like Princeton, Yale. We're just talking about the schools that are at the top of their game across all the states in the country.
Let's just take Penn State, a school we're both familiar with.
Right, yeah.
Penn State is a top school.
Right, yes.
All the people that we knew that we knew in city high school that went to Penn State, do you think there's that same amount of people up there now? Black people, rather.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. Because Penn State, I hear it's ridiculous to even get a main campus slot at Penn State.
Yeah.
I got a cousin that goes to Penn State in Kingsport. But I hear it's a pain just to get a main campus slot for anybody, let alone be black.
Well, we go back to our or my favorite, the Bureau of Labor Statistics for all data in American areas. But black unemployment for people who do not have a high school diploma, and we've kind of talked on this before earlier on, is at 16.6%. For whites, it's only 6.9%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go, say, someone has a bachelor's degree or higher, blacks are still almost double the rate of unemployment than other races.
Right.
So even though you have a degree, it's not guaranteeing that you're going to have a job just based on the color of your skin or your national origin.
Right. Well, I mean, this didn't happen in America, but did you hear the story of the young woman who had finished college or university, and she was offered the job? They thought she was so good, they offered her the job.
Yeah.
Then they turned around and said, well, we can't have you having dreadlocks. Meanwhile, they interviewed her with the dreadlocks, offered her the job while she had the dreadlocks, then sent her the thing like, well, you know, if you have dreadlocks, if you're not going to cut them out, we have to rescind our job offer.
Yeah.
See, that's the type of stuff that black people go through. I know for me personally, I am always the only black guy that works somewhere, or one of two or three black guys that work somewhere.
Right.
You know, the company that I'm with now, it'll be 9 years in April, okay? And there's one black male there before me, 9 years.
Yeah.
He was there 8-9 years before I got there. And then there's me. He was the first black person hired by the company in this area. The company started here.
Wow.
I'm the second black person ever hired by this company.
Wow.
So when we went to our to the Christmas party, there were a bunch of people in from California. There were two black women. First time I've seen them. I wanted to go ask them who the hell they were, but Nico was already mad at me, so I didn't want her to look at me and being crazier than she was already looking at me. So it is like one of those things where I'm like, well, where'd y'all come from? Oh, y'all must be in with the Cali crew. Which is the only thing I can think of.
Wow.
You know, but that's been my experience working at someone having an associate's degree in work experience. I go into these jobs and literally I'm the only black face in the whole place. I went and interviewed for a robotics company for a part-time job.
Yeah.
I went and interviewed there. I was the only brown face. The closest thing to that was the Russian guy who ended up interviewing me.
Well, I know in my career field, I think there's only two of us. And one's a woman and there's me.
Yeah. And the whole thing of, well, nobody is qualified. You're full of it.
Yeah.
The whole thing of nobody applies. You're doubly full of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm not buying that.
No, and as someone who was recently in, it was 2 years ago when I retired and stuff, started looking for work and all that. And it was definite signs that if I had a different name or looked differently, that my job wouldn't have been as difficult as it was.
Yes.
But there's no way I've ever really proven that, even though there's been tons and tons of data on hiring practices and those things that are out there. But because you're on the outside looking in, you don't have access to the internal process.
Well, I mean, just look at it, man. I mean, I'm sure I've said to you in more than one of these conversations about work and jobs that I swear the only reason I get some of my interviews is because of the way I speak in my name.
Well, I was teaching those classes for the military for people getting out of the military to find work and all that. And just from my anecdotal evidence there, it's like these people are basically the same, you know, and they're going for the same jobs. You can see the acceptance rate for those people who on paper all have the same exact credentials. in most respects. But certain people in those classes were always getting hired quickly. Others were lagging behind, and I can't believe it's because of some technical issue or that they weren't qualified because they all had the same qualifications.
Right. And it's ridiculous. But when you go and you bring this up and you point this out to the people who would try to argue against you on this, they say, nuh-uh, you just don't want to work. You don't work hard enough. Yeah. And you're sitting like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, wait a minute. But it that's like, I don't know, it didn't go viral, but it did make a national news thing. This white guy walked up on these people protesting against fracking locally. So it will be, it's near where I work, okay? It's up in Mars, which is pretty much near Cranberry. Oh, joy. And, well, Wheel of Fortune has Pittsburgh up as their background behind the contestants. That's nice. So he walks up on them, and the only black guy there is the person filming. And he's like, oh, did you ever have a job? Did you ever work? Why are you against jobs? Blah, 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 blah. Like this chimp over here.
What?
Oh yeah, started making monkey sounds, called him the N-word. And the other people were like, dude, no, we don't need you here doing this. You should leave. Why don't you go to work? So it turns out, supposedly, he's been fired by his company. But at the same time, I'm like, what makes him so brave that he could do that? Talk about, this is only the 10th black person he had seen in his life. And how he was taking, he was living off of his tax dollars. So, wait a minute. So, I'm lazy in his eyes. I don't want to work in his eyes. But he's not at work himself.
Right.
But I'm taking off of his tax dollars, or if I was to get a job where this dude worked at, I would be an affirmative action hire. I really didn't deserve the job. And, you know, meanwhile, his uncle got him his job, which isn't that the ultimate affirmative action?
Exactly.
So, I mean, they make me sick. They make me sick, but that still doesn't make me hate every white person I come across, because I know not every white person is like that.
No, definitely not. And we had some positive news this week, too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from our international segment, I guess. But
mm-hmm.
In Africa, excuse me, they have an issue with one terrorist group called Al-Shabaab. And
yes,
they've been going through attacking anyone in Kenya who's not Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And on, which day was this? It was on the 22nd, so it was last week.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bus going through between two towns, and Al-Shabaab stopped the bus. And
right.
Normally what they've done, because this is a busy time for people traveling to and from, you know, holidays and stuff like that for there as well. And
right.
They would take all the Christians off the bus and shoot them. Well, in this instance,
mm-hmm.
all the Muslims on the bus stood up for the Christians, and they told them there weren't any Christians on the bus. If they were going to shoot anyone, they had to shoot all of them. And they really fought so hard to keep these people alive that Al-Shabaab just decided to leave. There was one guy who ran away. They shot him dead, and there was a person in a truck behind him that killed him. But this was a first that's out there where they've been able to keep this terrorist groups from killing Christians because the Muslims banded together with them, which is pretty good.
That's cool. And, I mean, this is something we're just hearing about. This is not something that's uncommon, I'll bet.
No, no.
You know, because, I mean, I've seen chains of Christians form up to protect Muslims in places.
Yeah.
There have been chains of Muslims to form up to protect Christians to form up to protect Muslims and vice versa. Well,
even in Syria.
Sure I jumped around that. No, go ahead.
So even in Syria, there's been Muslims protecting. They have some Christian minorities there, and there's even some sisters, and the mm-hmm. Muslims are trying to get them, the terrorist ones. But the other right. Muslims from the neighborhood protected them.
Right. And I mean, it's, that's why I don't, that's why I hate some of the rhetoric and things I'm hearing from, the Republican candidates when it comes to, Muslims
yeah.
And other people. It's really not American in the spirit of America. It's very American in practice. It's not American at all in spirit. You know, but that is good, and I'm glad they were able to save the lives that they saved.
Yeah. I just wish, you know, the news covered more stories like that instead of trying to paint divisions, because again, at the end of the day, with all the different religious groups that are out there, there's millions and millions of people who are mm-hmm. just trying mm-hmm. to live their lives and
right.
practice their religion the way they are, and everywhere, not just in America or the West. But, you know,
right.
in the East, Middle East, and every other place
right.
as well. But they always want to try and make things such hard divisions. And if we start recognizing that these people who are the extremists on any side are
mm-hmm.
the minorities
and yeah.
not the majority, I think there'd be a lot more cooperation.
Yeah, there would. Because just like I got into a conversation with my chiropractor, and he was like, and he, what did he say? He said, well, who do you always hear about blowing stuff up now? Who do you always hear about blowing stuff up now? I was like, yeah, you mostly hear Muslims, but here in America, we've had all kinds of terrorist attacks, and it wasn't Muslims.
Well, I like the president's speech on, that NPR episode, was it a week or two ago? And
mm-hmm.
he said, you know, that more Americans have died from attacks from within our own borders.
Right.
Then we have killed by terrorists.
Yeah.
You know, here in the recent years. So, and that's true.
Yeah, and now they're trying to do it with just things where, well, they were all Democrats that did all these shootings. I'm like, no, they weren't. Then he was like, the ones with the kids were on psychotropic drugs, and he was a Democrat, and I'm like, no.
None of those things
matter.
They
were far right. None of those things matter. B, his mother was a Second Amendment nut.
Yep.
He was afraid Obama was coming to take her guns.
Yep.
He had no business having access to
nope.
guns, period. Neither did she. But if you were going to keep score like that, she was a Republican, actually a Tea Partier.
Yeah. And who keeps preventing us from putting in legislation that's going to be better for controlling these weapons.
Exactly. I was like, look, I'm a gun owner. I follow my Second Amendment right. I have guns in my home. At the same time, I don't need an AR-15. I don't believe for a second that a good guy with a gun always stops a bad guy with a gun. I believe too many good guys with a gun turn into bad guys with guns. I mean, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna step out of my door and me and five of my neighbors step out of the door and start shooting at somebody. Because they're out here shooting. Well, the cops show up. Who do I shoot? Who's the target?
Yeah.
Who? Everybody's
well,
firing.
Cops show up. You don't want to be black with a gun in your hand anyway, no matter what the
yeah, exactly. Is. Well, that's why I'm saying I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I'm like, nah, they got to be in my house.
Yeah.
And then
you'd almost
if
be
they're
better
in my house.
Let them shoot you first and then try to
yeah.
hope you're alive to return fire.
Oh, yeah, kind of, sort of. Well, me, I already figured it out. If somebody was to come in here and I had to shoot somebody in the house, I'm throwing the gun on the roof. And I'm stepping out. Look, he's in here. He dead. My hands are up. The gun's up on the roof of the house.
Yeah.
Why'd you throw it up there? Because I didn't want no mistakes
yeah,
on your part.
Exactly. yeah.
So you get a ladder. You climb up onto my porch roof. The gun's right there. I'm out here. You know.
Yep. Well, our next article comes from space.com, and it's something that could be quite revolutionary. Many of you may have seen that the Falcon 9 rocket launched last week, and they actually were able to recover the rocket body and have it land in one piece. This could revolutionize space trips. I won't necessarily say travel yet, but,
yeah,
you know, delivering payloads to space, be they cargo or people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main highlights in the article is that it costs $16 million to build the Falcon 9 rockets, and it's only about $200,000 to fuel it with propellant. So conceivably, if they can recover that $16 million rocket each time and just have to spend $200,000, you would see a lot more space launches, probably a lot more missions that would go up.
Yeah, that would definitely make it more economical in the sense to have private companies doing it. Again, my thing would be, I would need that to be heavily regulated, because I can just see it now. How many uses can you get out of this rocket?
Well,
you know, there's going to be a use limit. There has to be.
And that's what I say. We're still ways off, because
right,
they didn't know if this would happen. I mean, they've been trying. I think this was their third one or fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know if it was going to land or not. So they're going to have to ask those questions. How structurally sound is it? How many uses can they get out of it? What do they need to change to make it predictable 100% of the time? Because of space travel, mm-hmm. you can't have, you know, part way.
No.
So, yeah, but it's a good start.
Yeah, it is. I'm actually impressed that they were able to do that. And heck, it's nice to see that, where it seems like we've been becoming stagnant in areas, nice to see some advancement.
Yep, and it's everyone being involved now, and I think that's what you need, just like the Cold War days. Now you've got China, you've got India, even mm-hmm. the UK is getting back into the game.
Right.
Which they've never really gone full bore anyway, but it seems like they're trying to do that now.
Right.
Russia, of course. So it's ours to lose as far as beating people to these technological advances in space.
Right. And again, I mean, we like to scream how great we are and how number one we are. Okay, let's prove it. Do something. Yeah. Do something other than make something that can kill people.
Yeah.
You know, because we're great at making weapons. We're great at coming up with military hardware. Okay, let's make something else. Let's do something else as well.
And I have one article for our entertainment section, which is pretty mm-hmm. funny to me. It's from Engadget.com.
Mm-hmm.
Man sues Bethesda over his Fallout 4 addiction. So this is crazy. There's a man in Russia, and he's suing Bethesda for 500,000 rubles for failing to warn that Fallout 4 would become an addictive game. So, would you like to guess how much 500,000 rubles translate to in U.S. dollars?
About 10 grand.
You're close. $7,000. So, yeah, but what do you think about this whole idea of someone suing for playing the game's addictive? I mean, we had our 15-minute talk on the
games. Yeah, nerd out on games. Yeah.
So,
I'm going to need him to grow up and shut up. You know, get a job, get out whatever passes for your mama's basement in Russia.
Oh no.
Go get a job.
Well, he probably is now, but he said he went on a 3-week gaming marathon and it cost him his health, his job, and his wife. So he lost all of those in 3 weeks.
Man, turn the damn game off and go do what you need to do. What is wrong? Man, he just needs smack. I think he just didn't like his life. And he did this to try to kill everything in it.
Well, the bad thing is that one person has actually sued a company for being hooked on the game before and actually got money.
Was it one of those things where the company was just like, I don't feel like dealing with this, pay the fool so we can go on about our business?
No, it was in a court case, but it was an American, of course. And,
of course.
For a game, Lineage 2 by NCSoft, which I've never played before.
Never heard of.
I've heard of it, but
I've never
played
it.
It's not my type of thing, but... So the main test, I guess, for this guy is that he has to show that he was genuinely addicted and not just lacking in self-discipline. Either way, I don't think that's Bethesda's fault. I mean, they bill it as an open world game that you can spend many hours in. So, sounds like he got what he paid for.
Yeah, sounds like he got exactly what he paid for. Let me see, I don't know how many versions of Grand Theft Auto sitting in this house right now.
Yeah,
I ain't touched one in I don't know how long because I didn't feel the urge, don't feel the need. And even if I did get hooked all of a sudden, I know how to go to bed. Eventually I get hungry. Eventually I gotta pee. Eventually I need to eat. Eventually I have a wife.
Oh, like I said, I'm playing Fallout 4. It is big enough where you can get lost in there for days, but you know, you just have to be an adult.
Yeah.
You just gotta be able to turn it off. And really this break has been the first chance I had to just kind of sit and play for long stretches of time. And for me, long stretches like, you know, 3 hours, that's pretty long.
Right. Same here. I mean, I've done more gaming in the last 2 days than I've probably done in the last 3-4 months.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just, you know, I work, I pick my wife up after work. We got stuff we got to do once we get off from work. And it's just like, yo, I mean, stuff got to get done.
Yeah.
And me with a controller in my hand, that stuff isn't getting done.
Yeah.
You know.
So that was my last article for this portion of the podcast. Did you have anything else you want to add before we break and start up on our episode 7 extravaganza?
Let me think. Has there been anything else? I want to say that my heart goes out to the family of Tamir Rice, who again, we will not receive justice because the police were being let off of the hook for their egregious madness yet again. That 12-year-old boy should not be dead.
No.
He should, there's under no circumstances should he be dead with a toy gun. He didn't aim it. He didn't point it. That cop had no business being on the force in the first place.
No.
So, again, justice denied. Again, something needs to change. And protesting is one way to get it started. But if you don't follow the protesting with voting, with controlling the economics, and everything else, it's not going to mean anything.
Yeah.
So, that's all I had to say on that.
Oh, I did have one more thing I forgot to send to you. I'll have to send this. It's a picture I snapped at the store. It's a cover of an Inquirer, National Inquirer magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's got President Obama on the cover. It says, "Expose 93 secret ISIS cells here. Times Square, Mall of America, the Super Bowl." So, the National Enquirer knows where all of them are at. Why haven't they told anybody?
Oh, they just did. And you know, some dumbass out there actually believes that bull. And let me not dismiss the fact that there could be a quote unquote sleeper cell here in America. But let me remind people about one thing. 9/11 was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Pushing 15. Do you really think that they haven't wanted to hit us in with a spectacular attack since that one?
Oh, yeah.
How many years was it in between attacks on the World Trade Center? 9?
Yeah.
Fact of the matter is, those dummies can't get their crap together to do much of anything.
They don't have any reach outside of where they're at.
No, they don't. And when they do pull off something crazy, they get lucky. It's not lucky for the people it hurts and kills, but they get lucky.
All they can do is be cheerleaders and convince people to do stuff.
Right. So the two, I'm still trying to figure out how everybody makes this big deal out of what happened in San Bernardino, and it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Those people have no business being dead.
No.
But the people who are jumping up and down and screaming, "Muslim, Muslim, 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 Muslim," have nothing to say about the people who got up and left Clive and Bundy's ranch and went and executed two cops.
Yeah.
And then a citizen.
Yeah.
You know, who tried to stop him being the good guy with the gun and got his brains blown out because
yeah.
he's a dumbass. You know, so again, let's put these things in perspective. I step out of my door, I'm less scared of the Muslim or foreign person that I see walking down the street than I am of the white guy who looks like a redneck and who may have a Confederate flag hanging off of his truck. Sorry.
You mean like the guy down the street here from us in Jersey?
Yeah, like the guy down the street from you there in Jersey.
But he at least hangs it with his American flag. So the American flag is on top of the Confederate flag. Because, you know, those two go together.
Yeah, he's a jackhole, but at least he follows flag procedure, I guess.
No, because then it shouldn't be there. But anyways.
Well, at least it's not flying higher than the actual national flag.
He loves his country more than treason, I guess.
And the beauty of it is, I bet you if you asked him, hey, is that the actual Confederate flag? He'll go, no, it's not, you jackass.
So, I think that wraps us up for this part of the podcast. As we always say, you can come to our website, believethat.blackvalor.net. We have a podcast there and all our old podcasts you can download and listen to. We have a forums on there for you to comment. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, I Believe That News. And also you can send us questions, comments at believethatnews@gmail.com. And that is it for now. But come right back and listen to our talk on Star Wars, and actually, maybe some Jessica Jones if we get a chance. I'd like to talk about that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad deal.
All right.